Let the record reflect that it's 1:08 on Tuesday, February 10th. Welcome to the House Special Committee on Military and Veterans Affairs. Present, Representative Colver, Representative Ledoux, Representative Gruenberg, and myself, Representative Heron. Look forward to the others join us when they can. Today, we have House Joint Resolution 13, Retain Army Forces in Alaska, and HB 61, Military Meritorious Award License Plates, for consideration by this committee. We're going to take up the resolution first, followed by the bill after that. I'd ask Representative Reinbold and her staff to come forward, please. So, Reinbold, please put yourself on the record and begin your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Representative Laura Reinbold, and I represent Eagle River.
Please go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon. Today we are here to present House Joint Resolution 13. As you all know, the military plays a very important role, not only in Alaska, but to our nation and the world. House Joint Resolution 13 is being brought to you by the two co-chairs of the Joint Armed Services, so one in the Senate and one in the House. And basically what is going on right now is that they are looking at 30 installations across the United States right now for reductions. And we really think it's critical that we maintain the Alaska personnel and the Army at this point in time. House Joint Resolution 13 is very, very important in keeping Alaskans completely, the number of military personnel is very, very important because in Alaska, we have a very unique situation. And I'm going to go over three of those key in the resolution right now. I'm going to highlight just three areas. First of all, on page 2, lines 17 through 19, the geographical location of Alaska, including its access to polar air routes, provides a vital strategic advantage for future and current U.S. Army missions, force mobilizations, offensive operations, and defense operations. So that's one very unique role that Alaska can play. As well, if you look on line 26, page 2, the six major military installations, we have more than 23,000 active military duty members and more than 37,000 military family members of active duty service here in Alaska that make the military presence in the state economically vital to Alaska. Then I'm going to also point one more highlight of the resolution on page 3, number 17. Line 17, whereas Alaska has demonstrated its strong commitment to the United States Army by investing more than $88 million in transportation infrastructure to provide for the United States Army with access throughout the year to areas to make maneuvers in the Joint Pacific and Alaska Range Complex. And also, Alaska is the only state in the nation with direct access to the Arctic and to the United States Army soldiers in Alaska are experts in extreme cold weather operations. So those are three unique things to Alaska that I think are very, very important that we highlight. Also, I wanted to state that there's at risk about 5,000 positions at Fort Wainwright and about 5,000 in Anchorage. It's very important that we maintain the current levels, and because of our uniqueness in Alaska, it's important that that we do not reduce those numbers. And I'm going to make a quote. I would like to tell you a quote. The quote is from Major General Mitchell. His life was December 29, 1879 through February 19 of 1936. And what he says then is still very accurate today. What he says is I believe in the future, whoever holds Alaska will hold the world. I think it is the most important strategic place in the world. So for national security and for Alaska, we are urging you to support House Joint Resolution 13. And with that, Mr. Chairman.
So, Representative Reinbold, do you plan on attending one or both of those hearings because of your chairmanship?
Absolutely. Yes, both, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. And I've asked the speaker that this committee be represented, and I've asked Representative Ledoux to attend at least the Anchorage meeting. I think it has to be a strong message from your committee as well as this committee on how important the resolution state, how important that the resolution states the facts, and the legislature should send a clear message. So it'll be my intent to move the resolution from committee today so we can get it to the House floor. Is there any questions for Representative Reinbold?
Mr. Chair, I have some suggested amendments. Do you wish to take them up later when we mark the bill up? Because I'll want to make sure that it's okay with the representative. Do you want me to do it now? What's your pleasure?
Okay. Yeah, we can do that. Let's see if there's any other questions, and then we can start on the markup.
Sure.
Please note for the record, Representative Bob Lynn has joined us. Any other questions by other committee members? You made it just in time for questions for your colleague on this resolution.
On which?
A resolution urging the U.S. States Department of Army maintain its current levels in Anchorage and in Fairbanks.
Well, that's an easy comment. You know, preparation. You know, we live in very, very hazardous times, as we all know, and I can't believe that people are trying to make cuts to the military. Look at what's going on. I don't need to detail what you folks see on TV every night. You know, everything's going on. And we did the same thing before World War II. Everybody cut the military back. Next thing we know, in World War II. And I fail to understand the mentality that somebody wants to diminish the security of the United States. So I'm in favor of this bill. But they better not recall me. We're in big trouble.
So, are you Major General Mitchell's Air Force son?
What? No,
No, Major General Mitchell was considered the grandfather of the Air Force.
Well, actually, when I went to undergraduate college, my term paper was on Billy Mitchell.
So you are the Air Force son of Billy Mitchell.
I'm a son of a something.
Okay, seeing no other questions for the representative, Representative Grunberg, you have the floor.
Thank you. through the chair, if I may do this through the chair. Representative Reinbold, what I'd like to do is go through the bill. Most of these are very minor and just grammatical things to help the bill. The first one is on page 1, line 1, and it's also found on page 4, line 1. After the word maintain, add and strengthen. So the text would say, urging the Army to maintain and strengthen its current level of forces. And the same on the top of page 4. Line 1. Do you wish to have these numbered consecutively or all as part of the same amendment?
We will take note of them and then we'll make a motion at the end.
Oh, okay.
So just so that the committee signs off on each one as we go, line 1, page 1, line 1, page 4, maintain and strengthen. That's the
proposal.
The conceptual amendment. Is there any issues with that?
I would just ask Representative Reinbold.
He has approved it.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Okay, let's move on to the next one.
Okay. Now, on page 1, line 2, and this is really conceptual. It appears several places. It says, and not to take reductionary, and I don't know if that's the right adjective, but the actions that will we don't want them to take structural realignment actions that reduce the force, and it's very conceptual, and it also appears the same thing on page 1, line 7, And it appears on page 4, line 4. We're specifically saying that we don't want the Department of the Army to take structural realignment actions that reduce the force. And that we have to find the right adjective.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Calder.
Can we take it one at a time? On page 1,
page 1, line 2.
Page 1, line 2. I would recommend replace on line 3 the first two words with regard to, those three words, and replace that with that reduce.
Mr. Chair?
Something like that. Anyway.
Representative Calver, this is a conceptual amendment.
Okay.
We'll just talk about the potential of a full amendment at the end. And
okay.
I understand in those three places we don't want it to reduce. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I was going to make that my next suggestion. But the first thing deals with the reduction, and then I was going to say on line 3, instead of with regard to replace it to at.
So noted. So we have at, we're at line 3, page 1, line 3. And then in those three other locations, there will be an adjective that talks about reductions.
Yes, sir.
And I'll, you and my staff will, and the sponsor, we will make sure that Ledge Legal understands the intent.
And should I continue?
Please go on to the next.
And I would just hope that Representative Reinbold, if she disagrees, would let us know.
Not yet.
Okay. Oh, not yet. Okay.
She has maybe a correction.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Are we allowed to speak right now?
Speak on the introduce yourself.
For the record, my name is Elijah Verhagen, staff for Representative Reinbold. We do not feel that we are in concurrence with the first one with add and strengthen on line one. On line three, replacing with regard and replacing that with at, we would be fine with just leaving it with regard to Fort Wainwright. It means the same thing. So, and then also on line 2, the reductionary, inserting reductionary, again, we would be fine with leaving that out of there. It still has to go over to the Senate. We're trying to get it done by the 23rd to read aloud in these listening sessions and the 24th. And although these are minor changes, we still feel the whole emphasis of the resolution is, and it states over and over, that we don't want them to decrease the or reduce the amount of troops. And so, again, we're in favor of the first amendment to add the word and strengthen, but the second two so far we would like to leave as is.
May I inquire?
Representative Gruenberg.
Am I understanding that you don't want to say reduce or decrease? That would I thought that was the gist of the whole bill.
Representative Gruenberg, through the chair, it is the gist of the whole bill, and towards the end when it says further have it be resolved, it's the whole intent of the bill is that they do not decrease any of our troops, and so that is our intent.
Okay, and Mr. Chairman, if I could also speak.
Please go ahead.
Thank you. It's always the will of the committee. So if you guys believe that this is what needs to be done in the title, then we obviously are yielding to the committee. So in regards to that.
Okay. May I continue?
The sponsor does not want to use the word reduce.
Is that just, may I inquire, Representative Reinbold through the chair, you just don't want that in the chair, I mean in the title, or you don't want that anywhere in the bill either?
It's throughout the bill, through the chair. It states throughout the bill over and over and over again. So technically it may be a good suggestion to add it in the title, and that's why we're very open to the option. It's just we want to make sure that we have time to make sure that this at the Senate as well. We need to make sure that.
So Representative Gruenberg, the intent of these listening session is downsizing. So I would recommend that we not add a reduce adjective, because the whole intent is to go up there as we don't want them to reduce it.
Okay.
So let's move on to the next. Representative Ledoux.
Are we able to make conceptual amendments and at the same time just send it off to the other body, or send it off to the floor before it goes to the other body without holding it up here?
Or yes, it would be a CS. We would approve a CS essentially.
That would be my intent.
Yeah. We're not going to hold it up.
Okay. And then, so I take it that the sponsor does not want to say on line 7, reducing the structural. Okay, so that would not, I won't do that. The next thing on line 8, once again, change with regard to the word at.
I think I'll make a chair will make a ruling on that, is that sometimes we disagree with legislegal, but it survived their review, so I would, Representative Gruenberg, I'm fine with it.
Okay.
Staying that way.
So then we would not put that in the title either. Okay. So we'll leave that alone. Moving to the next page, I believe, and I'm not sure, this is more of a question, page 2, line 3, I think chairman should be capitalized, and I would say chair, because it could at some point be...
technical amendment. I'll accept that.
Yeah, I would capitalize it. Okay.
Yep.
Then on page, we're all on page 2 here. Lines 8 and 9 change at an members of an affected community to members of affected communities.
That is the technical. I'll accept that.
Then on the next, whereas, it says, whereas Anchorage could lose up to this. I would say, whereas J-Bear could lose up to that.
Question. Should, on that point, would it be J-Bear or joint base?
Of course, it does, joint base.
It does say that at the end of the sentence.
Yeah, that's redundant.
I think the sponsor is okay with that.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Representative Culver.
Point of order is, that's what it says. Anchorage could lose up to 5,300 military and civilian positions at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. So we wouldn't restate it in the beginning and say, whereas Joint Base Elmendorf could lose at Joint Base Elmendorf.
No. It would say, whereas Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson could lose up to 5,300 positions.
And then, period?
Yeah.
Restructure the sentence?
Yeah. That would be the end of the whereas.
Representative Reinbold?
Through the chair, again, we would, at least on that one right there, we would leave it as is. Anchorage could lose up to 5,300 military civilian positions at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson.
It's not only, Representative Gruenberg, it's not only Anchorage, as many of the people that are stationed there and our civilian positions also live in the extended region. So I think the sentence is fine.
All right.
Excuse me.
For the record, we've been joined by the minority leader. Glad you could make it.
Moving ahead. Page 2, line 18. I think Department of the Army Missions, I think it should be United States Army Missions.
So noted, we'll change it from to U.S. Army Missions. Again, another technical.
Page 2, line 24. Deploy by air or sea to areas in and around the Pacific, I would add in, comma, Asia, comma, and Europe.
Yes, I see no objection. We'll add Asia, Pacific, comma, Asia, and Europe.
On page 2, line 28, make the military presence in the state economically vital to Alaska. I think it's more than important. I think it's vital.
Seeing no objection, vital is in place of important.
Uh, Then on page 3, line 3, using conventional educational environments, analog, electronic, and other, the word, and I think this was suggested by Chancellor Tom Case, but rather than distance delivery, I would say off-campus communications systems.
I see objection to that. I think this serves us well.
Okay. I'm not going to belabor any of these things. This just is another grammatical thing on page 3, line 14. Whereas the United States Army and the United States Air Force are located, I think we're really saying whereas, no, not the word the, whereas United States Army and United States Air Force facilities are located together.
Drop the and add facilities after Air Force?
Mm-hmm.
On that point, are they located or co-located?
Fine, that's with, fine with me.
So noted for the record, drop the and facilities after Air Force and change located to co-located, though it says together. So yes,
have you ever heard of the term co-located? Is that a military term?
I Representative Lynn, I think we're we like the suggestion, but it does say located together, and so we'll just leave it located together. Next amendment proposed.
Well, this is just kind of a suggestion. It's if that's
please,
okay.
Please go forward.
It's more of a stylistic. Line 15, providing a unique and efficient deployment base. I would say an ideal deployment base. I want that. Okay, I won't do that. And again, then, on the last page, page 4, a change with regard to both, say at, not to take structural realignment actions at Fort Wainwright and J-Bear.
So you want to drop with regard to and change it?
With regard to both. Yeah, that whole phrase, and just say at.
Representative Reinbold.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We already discussed this on page 1, and we decided not to do that.
Oh, that's not being done. Okay.
Thank you.
That's fine.
That was the last one?
The only other thing, the question was whether a copy should be sent to General Dempsey, I think, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And I don't know if there's a separate Army Chief of Staff General, but if there is, that it should be sent to both of them.
That's a good suggestion. Staff and Legal will add those two names. Did we find the amendment that we were looking for? The last one?
That was it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for your indulgence.
Representative Reinbold.
Mr. Chairman, if I could speak to this amendment, I would appreciate it. On page 2, line 11, when we were talking about Anchorage, I think it would be Anchorage in vicinity. I think it would be really important because that includes communities like Eagle River, where I'm from, and possibly beyond.
Okay. It's noted that we'll add vicinity with just the word Anchorage. Any objection to that? Okay. Representative Ledoux.
This is not an objection, but I happened to notice this morning when we were doing the ANWR resolution that we sent copies of the resolution to the President of the United States, the Vice President of the United States, etc. So I was wondering whether or not the sponsor would like to add those.
Mr. Chairman, through the chair, yes, I think that's a very good suggestion.
Okay, we'll expand the distribution list to the President and others that Representative Ledoux mentioned. Yes, sir.
Just a technical question. Does he go by the name Chuck, or is that just a nickname? Is it really Charles?
He resigned.
He retired.
Oh, sorry. through the chair, Representative Grunberg, that's what I discussed with Ledge Legal, and that's what they said, that he is his name is Honorable Chuck Hagel.
Okay.
Okay, I think the committee is ready for that amendment to Representative Grunberg.
Move the amendment.
Amendment's been moved. Is there any objection to the amendment? Seeing no objection, the amendment's there, and the resolution as amended is back before us. And please note for the record that Representative Hughes has joined us. Committee discussion on the resolution. You wish to speak, Representative Reinbold?
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to make sure. I'm not sure if anyone's in line. If there's in public testimony, I don't believe there is, but there may be. I'm not sure.
I've asked staff to provide me any list, but well, that's a good point. Is anybody in the audience, or if there's anybody out online who would like to testify in this resolution? In my haste to get this bill to the floor, I forgot that. No one signed up? Anyone online? Okay. Representative Culver, motion is in order.
I move to send out a committee HJR 13 version 29-LS0486/8 as amended in committee.
With individual recommendations?
With individual recommendations and no fiscal note, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. So you have no objection. The resolution's on its way. Thank you, Representative Reinbold.
Thank you very much.
Okay, let's take at an ease. We'll sign the $139. And before us, for the committee, is House Bill 61. Maybe we'll begin with a sponsor statement, and then we'll go to the CS for adoption after that. Please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 61 adds the honor of license plates for people who have demonstrated bravery in the field or in operations that involve forces or United States Armed Forces in combat. We have a number of military license plates. Certainly the highest military order that you can receive, the Medal of Honor, is recognized right now. We have a military license plate, obviously, for the Purple Heart, for people who were POWs, and a few others. Two of the ones that are missing both involve honors that people receive for fighting in the armed forces in operations that involve hostile forces, hostile or enemy forces. One is the Silver Star. The Silver Star you can't get a license plate for, and the Bronze Star you can't get a license plate for. And why don't I just explain why we think this is important. We received a phone call, obviously, from a veteran who will be online, Larry Gardoff, who has a Bronze Star. And there are very few ways for us to appreciate people who have served in the past in the military. One way is for those who want to have a license plate. You know, it's a license plate is a much more dignified way to honor somebody than a bumper sticker, than a sticker you put on your window. It's a state-sanctioned state-sanctioned recognition of a person's sacrifice. So the bill adds two categories of license plates that DMV can issue. One category is the silver and the bronze star, and DMV designs these license plates at a very low cost and then charges something like $35 a piece after they're designed. The real cost is in the initial design and the press, and it turns out to be there's an $8,000 fiscal note in the bill right now. But what we didn't want in the bill is for somebody to come back every single time they wanted to add another designation for license plate recognition. So we've given DMV, and this is really the committee substitute, the authority to add other license plates that demonstrate bravery and merit, both bravery and merit. And there are a number. I mean, there are over 50 designations, awards that you can receive for merit. And then above those are merit and bravery and valor. We didn't want to see sort of a string of license plate bills that come before this and future committees till the dawn of time. So we give DMV the power if it's in recognition of a medal that you received for bravery and merit, the power to add additional designations. The two that we have identified here are the bronze and silver star. You can receive a silver star medal for valor in the face of an enemy while in combat. The bronze star has two different types. There is a bronze star V and a bronze star M. The V is for valor in the face of fighting forces. The bronze star M is for merit while you're in military operations. So in theory, you could have somebody land at your base, their plane catches fire, and you are responsible for the rescue of the people on base, even though you're not in the face of the enemy, but you're in a military operation. So that's the difference between the M version of the bronze star and the V version, which is valor while you're in combat. Those seemed, I think, important to add for folks who've been sent away for combat to defend the United States of America, to stand up for their country, to risk their lives for their country. And so the bill specifically adds those two. I will say, just in the interest of noting a mistake that we made, that we had assumed that the second highest ranking awards that you can receive after the Medal of Honor, which are the Distinguished Cross for Army members, the Navy Cross, and the Air Force Cross, which are for conduct that is just right below conduct that you would get a Medal of Honor for, also aren't covered by the statutes. And so if it's the committee's will, I think it would be important to add those three because they do rank right ahead of a Silver Star and a Bronze Star. Again, those are the Distinguished Cross. That's for Army members, the Navy Cross, and the Air Force Cross. Then below the Bronze Star, we would just leave it to DMV to say, is this a medal that reflects bravery and merit? And they can add the rest as time goes by. As I've said, there are over 50 military designations, and we just wanted to leave that to DMV to add on their own without us in the future coming forward with bills. The current patchwork is a patchwork that's been designed by separate bills in the past, and the better way, I think, is to just give DMV the power to add them without our involvement. As far as the CS, the simple change in the CS in layman's terms is that there was a mistake in the original bill that said the department shall issue plates for all medals of that reflect bravery and merit. And what we wanted to do was say they shall do it for the Bronze Star and the Silver Star, and may for all of the rest. Let them add those as applicants come forward and there's a demand for them. So it just changed, apart from the Bronze Star and the Silver Star, it changed the shall for all those other medals to a may, just to make sure there are people who are applying for them and seeking them.
Okay. For procedure, the chair will entertain a motion to adopt the hotel version CS for House Bill 61 so that we can start asking questions of the sponsor.
Mr. Chairman, I move work draft for CS House Bill 61 version 29-LS0287/H as a working document.
Thanks.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Lynn.
I have to declare conflict of interest. I have one of those medals.
Thank you for your service, Representative Lynn.
What do you have? Ask to the chair. What medal do you have?
Bronze Star.
I didn't know that.
It's right here.
Oh.
Okay, just for everyone's knowledge, is Amy Erickson, DMV, is online from Anchorage, and Larry Gordioff from Anchorage will be testifying when we open up to the public. Is there questions of the sponsor? Please go ahead.
Chair, thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay, so when we talk about the Distinguished Crosses, is there one that's separate for the Marines also, or is that part of the Navy one? Is that part of the Navy Cross? I just want to make sure we're not forgetting any other distinguished medals above the Silver Star.
Representative Gruenberg?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I, through the chair to Representative Guerra, I looked up whether there is currently a license plate for Medal of Honor winners. Mm. And I couldn't find one, and I just looked through the statute now. I cannot find one.
Representative Gruenberg, we have an expert online that maybe Ms. Erickson can answer that for us.
Okay.
Amy, are you online?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. This is Amy Erickson, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. It's true, in statute we do have a Medal of Honor plate. However, one has never been requested, so it's never been designed.
Hmm. Representative Gruenberg.
Mr. Chair, I was looking in the statute, Ms. Erickson, and I had seen some material before, and I had not seen anything stated in statute. Could you cite me to where in the statute, AS 2810-181 or elsewhere, it says that there is a Medal of Honor license plate?
So, Amy, do you have that cite?
Mr. Chair,
through the chair,
I do.
Representative Gruenberg, the statute is 2810-181, L as in Lima.
L as in Lima.
Okay. It's there.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
On the Medal of Honor, that's so unique. I would think that maybe not part of this bill, I don't know, but that should be a plate given freely by the DMV to a Medal of Honor recipient. I think we had one here in the past. I don't think any living now in Alaska, but that's the least we can do for a Medal of Honor.
I agree, Representative Lynn, but there's we could ask DMV to go ahead and design it and place it under a fiscal, maybe not this one, but we can work with the director on that. So, Amy, since we have you online, there's a couple of questions here. So the fiscal note that you've provided is not for the H version, hotel version, right?
That's correct, sir.
So, okay, we'll seek a new fiscal note from you. But on that is the numbers now would not be 32, that would be 35, is that correct, if we add the crosses?
Mr. Chairman, it was my understanding that the bill would now limit it to the two, the Bronze and the Silver Star, and then the Meritorious Crosses, so there would be fewer. But please help me understand if I'm incorrect.
No, we'll have the sponsor and the committee staff work with you to make sure that the the numbers to push out a fiscal note are accurate, so we'll appreciate your response to that. So obviously everyone here in the room, regardless of a legislator, staffer, or visitor, we all recognize the large deficit we're facing. So Representative Garrett, do you, even though it's small, even though we should do it, do you think we should try to find a sponsor for the fiscal note?
Through the chair, members of the committee.
Private sector sponsor.
Were this something that, other than a one-time $8,000 cost, and were much more significant, I think we would probably put the effort into that. But it's a one-time cost of $8,000, and then from then on, it's self-sustaining with the fee. And it didn't seem to be a large enough amount of money. Certainly, we're in fiscal dire straits right now, but at $8,000, it didn't seem to be the kind of amount of money that is what's really concerning us in this building.
Well, I'll ask my my VFW post if they could contribute a small amount of money, and maybe we could make it a more inclusive effort by others, because I think this is important. But again, 3.5 is still 3.5B. So with that, and I'll take that responsibility to assist in that as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We'll certainly work with you. I just my only fear is that as it's not a fear, but as folks contribute, they'll probably want a different version of the bill, and many of them might want to each want their own version of the bill, and it might cause more conflict than necessary. But we'll certainly take the lead of the chair.
Yeah, let's charge up that hill. So one final question to Amy from me is, Amy, this concept that I just brought up, you can accept private sector funds to pay for the design of the plates?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe that we can.
Okay, that's some of the else we should research as well. Are there questions? Yes, Representative Lynn.
Well, on the meritorious service thing, there's so many varieties of meritorious service. One is the outstanding, meritorious unit award, and that's a unit, not an individual. And be careful of that, and that can have a V on it, also for valid, where you're in a unit, and the unit gets the V, but you don't individually. And I'm a little confused, actually, about what the DMV can and cannot do in authorizing a plate for a particular medal. Now, there are awards and there are decorations. We're talking about decorations here.
Yes, sir. That'll be part of our plan to, it's chair's intent to hold this over so that when we push this document out, I hope to have a zero fiscal note somehow, some way. And
I'll be happy to talk to the sponsor about it.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions of the sponsor? Plus, any Representative Gary, any final comments before we set it aside and work with you?
I don't know if you would mind hearing from Mr. Gordoff.
Oh,
and
sir,
then
you're
also
right.
In answer to Representative Tuck's question, a Marine Corps member would qualify for the Navy Cross, but there's just not a Marine Cross.
Okay. Yep. I apologize. Now we will go to public testimony. And we have one person online. Has anybody signed up in the room? Okay. So, Larry Gordioff, are you online, sir?
Yes, I am.
Please go ahead with your public testimony.
The one correction is that I am not a recipient of a Bronze Star. I started a group called Alaska Native Veterans, and I'm representing one of the members who is a Bronze Star recipient from Afghanistan. And in answer to the question on the private posts and the donations, I went to to the Department of Alaska American Legion, and they have to go all the way to National to get approval for even a letter saying they want that. So that's going to take a long, drawn-out process if it works at all. But my testimony is this. I'd say good afternoon to everybody. My name is Larry Gordioff. I started a group called Alaska Native Veterans on Facebook. Our mission statement is to give a helping hand up, not a handout, to Alaska Native veterans, to answer concerns of the veterans and their needs, to help the community give respect to all veterans and stay non-political, to strive for Alaska Native veterans to have a voice in our great state of Alaska. The testimony I'm giving now is from Christopher Thomas, an Army veteran served in Afghanistan. While talking to the young Army Afghanistan combat veteran, I was told he went to the Alaska Department of Motor Vehicles in Anchorage to ask for a Bronze Star license plate for his vehicle and was told that there is no such plate in Alaska. I checked the internet and found that many states have this plate available for the Bronze Star recipients for their heroism while serving adverse conditions under combat fire. I then contacted Representative Lescara and asked him for his help in getting a Bronze Star license plate for Alaska Bronze Star recipients in the great state of Alaska. Les has gone out of his way to help the veterans throughout the state. Specialist 5, Christopher Thomas, served our country and nation in Afghanistan, where he went beyond the call of duty when his SUV was hit an IED, and he went out of his way to save his crew under enemy fire. He received the Bronze Star for this unselfish heroism on that day. Chris lives in Anchorage with his wife and 3 children. His family is from Buckland, Alaska. It would be a great honor to have a Bronze Star license plate displayed on his vehicle to show the respect that all Bronze Star recipients deserve for the great from our great state of Alaska. This Bronze Star license plate should be afforded to all veterans recipients of the Bronze Star Medal who call the great state of Alaska home. In closing, I would ask that the body give a unanimous vote on instituting an Alaska State Bronze Star license plate, and that Christopher Thomas, a homegrown hero, receive the first plate. Thank each and every one of you for this consideration. Larry Gordioff, Alaska Native Veterans Group. Thank you very much.
Is there any questions to our to Larry? Please go ahead, Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, I'd like to ask Representative Guerra this question and then the gentleman who just testified, if I could.
Go ahead, please.
Under the Valor Act, the Federal Valor Act, that includes not only people who have gotten the Bronze Star and above, which I think could probably include the combat, there's an award for enlisted men for the same thing, but also includes those people who have received the combat infantryman badge, who are infantry and have been in hostile fire, and combat action badge, which is for soldiers who are not infantry but could be artillery or arm or something like that, helicopter. And the combat action ribbon, which is the same thing for Navy and Marine Corps. The federal definition of the Valor medals includes those categories. And through the chair, I'm wondering how you would, whether you would support including those in this bill too.
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg. That was the intention of giving the Department of Motor Vehicles the authority to allow somebody to apply for additional license plates beyond the ones that are listed in this bill. If you're in combat, you would, I think, be very hard-pressed to argue that you didn't engage in both valor and merit. So I think they would qualify. But they would just have to apply to the Department of Motor Vehicles if folks wanted one. And I think that's the answer.
And Mr. Chair, thank you, Representative. And I would ask the gentleman who just testified if he would have any thoughts on the same question.
Larry, did you hear the question from Representative Gruenberg to Representative Guerra, and now he's asking you the same question?
Yes, I've listened to it. I believe you can go to DMV and get a license plate with the branch you served in, and I've seen on the bottom of one of those plates at one time that it did have infantry and stuff on it. So I think that's available. I'm not sure about, you know, on meritorious ribbons and stuff like that, because, like they said, if you get a meritorious ribbon, it's for the whole company, not just the individual.
So, to my DMV expert, Amy, can you share your thoughts on the question?
Yes, Mr. Chair. We do offer plates for different designators, but not specifically for whether it's bravery or honor. But we do have a unit designator license plates available.
Thank you.
Question.
Follow-up question?
Well, it's just a comment. I was hopeful that we could do something like Representative Garris said, because those of us who were veterans, and I was lucky enough not to be shot at, would qualify for the veterans plates. But this would give an added measure for these people who've been in hostile combat and have actually been under fire. And you know, you were a Marine, and you were in the Air Force, that it's... I think people, when they've been under hostile fire, they deserve some recognition.
So noted for the record. Amy, again, please work with Representative Guerra and committee staff to prepare the next fiscal note, with all, including all this conversation, please.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative.
Well, Amy's on the line. What happens, say, I get one of these plates, and then I sell my car? Is it my plate? I go with the car? When you sell the car or whatever, or take it to the junkyard, what happens to the plate?
Through the chair, Representative Lynn, the registration plates always stay with the vehicle unless it's a special plate like this and it would go with you.
Thank you.
Okay, Representative Tuck, you have a question.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. On the adding the distinguished crosses, you want to have that... you want to have that separated? You don't want that to be part of the Meritus Awards. Is that correct?
Representative Guerra.
Through the chair, I think, frankly, since those are right below a Medal of Honor, those should be in the bill. The Distinguished Cross, which is for Army members, the Navy Cross, and the Air Force Cross. That was an omission on our part. We thought they were already covered.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And while we're at it, is that we should just... like Representative Lynn said, is that we should just design the Medal of Honor one, and then when somebody applies, it's ready to go. So we'll work with Amy on that one. Okay, is there any other questions on this, on House Bill 61 at this time? Representative Gruenberg.
If the members would look at the bill, the second part of the bill, as I understand it, and this is kind of a question to Ms. Erickson, that if we were to do what Representative Lynn said a minute ago and make it so that...
Medal of Honor.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And make it so that if you got the Medal of Honor, and maybe if we were to add anything else, but at least the Medal of Honor, they would pay nothing, then that would require another amendment to this section of law, would it not? I believe it has to be in this here. Ms. Erickson, through the chair.
Representative Gruenberg, through the chair, I don't believe it would have an additional cost because the Medal of Honor is already in statute, and it can and will be designed, and we can consult with the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs to do so.
Amy, the question is, do you need to have in the statutes that the Medal of Honor is given at no cost to the recipient?
Oh, through the chair, that is actually already in statute in 2810.421.11.
Thank you for the cite. Representative Tuck.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, and this is for Mrs. Erickson also. So if I'm understanding correctly, we have Medal of Honor. We don't have one that's designed because there has never been one requested. Would that be true with these license plates also, that they would only be designed if requested? And this time, misunderstanding.
Through the chair, Representative Tuck, that's correct.
So, Mr. Chair, I don't know if there's any reason why we need to add the Medal of Honor to this particular fiscal note, because apparently...
No, Representative Tuck, it is a key question. So if one is not requested, then it should... Then, in theory, then we could have literally zero fiscal note because none have been requested yet.
I understand that, Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
I thought you were trying to. I thought we were leading towards adding to this fiscal note the cost of doing the Medal of Honor. That's
design.
What I thought.
Yes.
Design.
Yes. But Amy provided a site that allows that. So. We have a lot of research to do before we vote on this bill at the next time it comes up.
Okay. So if I just so I make sure I understand that just like the Medal of Honor, that unless somebody requests one of these license plates, the design's not necessary.
Correct. But the discussion was I would like to see the Medal of Honor one designed anyway. So it's on the shelf, ready to go when the first Medal of Honor winner shows up to apply for one. That's the only comment that I had.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes. Representative Ledoux?
I was just going to say, if nobody applies for anything, wouldn't it be an indeterminate fiscal note rather than a zero fiscal note? Because the fiscal note might happen when somebody, or the monetary cost happens when somebody applies for it. I'm just not sure.
Yes. We will work with Ms. Erickson, the bill sponsor, and committee staff, and we'll try to get answers to all these suggestions and questions. Representative Guerra.
Thank you. So on the Medal of Honor, when that bill was passed, there already was a fiscal note because the Medal of Honor license plate was offered at no charge. So the state was going to pick up that cost. There must have been a fiscal note when that bill passed. Though I would have just one question to make sure everything is clarified before we walk out of committee, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
Ms. Erickson, our understanding was that unit awards qualify already for a special designated license plate, like the presidential unit, and you had mentioned something about unit awards. I guess what of those are covered and one of those are not covered right now?
Through the chair, Representative Guerra, I'd like to get a list to you because it's extensive.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Okay, we're going to set this aside. The next meeting that will be scheduled is with the new commissioner and designee and tag designee, Lori Hummel, at the 19th, February 19th. Nothing else to come before this committee. We are adjourned at 2:10. Thank you.